And I emphasize that it should be ample opportunity, that the administration has agreed that they will make it abundantly clear to people that they can opt out. As long as we do that, I think, frankly, we'll raise a lot more money for a very much-needed enterprise. I don't know about the rest of you, but I took great pride, and I'm sure all of you did, great pride in the fact that Alaskans were participating in the recent Winter Olympics. I'll take great pride if Alaskans are participating in the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. But the fact situation is that not many Alaskans had the opportunity to participate in the Winter Olympics. Not many Olympians from Alaska will participate in the Summer Olympics for the simple reason that the way, because of our distances, because of our traditional structure in this state for the educational institutions and one thing or another, we're just not really geared to encourage that. This will raise some monies so that we can encourage participation, particularly among those Alaskans who are into sports that are appropriate for the Olympics, but who haven't been particularly encouraged in the past. This can result in some in construction of some capital facilities, perhaps at Fairbanks, perhaps elsewhere, undoubtedly at Anchorage, undoubtedly at the winter areas out of Anchorage, that would be promotive of Alaskans in upcoming Olympic contests. Not this, please understand, we're not talking about what's going to happen this summer. It's too late for that. Some legislature 4 years ago should have been doing what we're doing to help that situation. But this money, and we're really speaking about a very small amount, because actually it's a one-time appropriation only. This matching program is limited to the match that's collected during fiscal year 85. So with it a one-time only, we're not really speaking about a lot of money, and yet properly handled, properly administered by the U.S. Alaska Olympic Trust Fund, it can make a real difference in constructing facilities so that Alaskan athletes can indeed participate on a world scale among and against the best athletes in the world. And I, you know, the pride that I felt during the last go around can be magnified manyfold if we have more Alaskans in there 4 years ago. For that reason, I think it's necessary to raise the maximum amount of money. This is not purely a giveaway. We're matching monies that, in other words, in a sense, Alaskans will be voting with their pocketbooks on the size of the appropriation up to the limit that we've established in here. And I sure don't have a bit of trouble doing everything I can to encourage the maximum amount of participation, provided the people that don't want to participate don't have to, and they don't have to under the bill as it is unamended.
I'm going to replace the call on the House at this time. Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There's been a couple of questions that have been brought to bear, that have been raised here, that I'd like to have some answers for so I can deliberate. And not to cloud the issue about the intent of this bill and the joy and dedication and excellence of the Olympic Games. But one question that I'd like to have someone answer, perhaps the last committee of referral chairman, on the legality of this piece of legislation. Has there been or is there an attorney general's opinion about the question that was raised by the previous speaker from the Matsu Valley? That I would like to have answered, and also a statement made by the previous speaker from Juneau on a vote taken by the public employees. I had not, I'm not privy to the vote count or anything, and I'd appreciate very much knowing that. Thank you.
Madam Speaker, if I said that a vote was taken by the public employees, then I misspoke myself, but I do not believe that I said that. I said that we had testimony from the representatives of the association who are, believe me, in very close communication with their membership, and if there was problems with this, I can assure you that they would know about it. Perhaps I could also respond slightly, and then the finance chairman may wish to speak additionally, on the legality as raised by the point raised by the Matsu representative. That question was raised in State Affairs Committee, and as I say, not only did the Did the public employees present not have a problem with it? The representatives of the administration present, who are the people who are bound by that statute, they did not have a problem with it either. Again, as long as there's ample opportunity for people to opt out.
Lindauer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that this amendment is necessary to make a bad bill better. And the reason that we should adopt the amendment, and I'll speak to the bill at some other time, the reason we should adopt the amendment that in the absence of this amendment, what we are really doing is reinstituting the income tax and putting it on the state employees. And if, in fact, we're going to begin taxing Alaskans, particularly in wholesale groups, since we have so many state employees, then we ought to at least extend it to all Alaskans. But I think it is totally unfair and inappropriate to single out the state employees, make them make a mandatory payment, whatever you call it. It's normally called an income tax, and that's what we've got, is an income tax on state employees. The fact of life is that as they realize that and get their backs up more and more, they're going to begin opting out, and we will be spending a fortune constantly reprogramming our computers to take one person and then another person and then another person. I don't know what the fiscal note here is, but my guess is it should be in the millions of dollars for the administrative costs of rewriting computer programs constantly to specify individuals in and out. We can probably minimize that by eliminating the income tax provision of this and turning it around so that people opt into the $1. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We did not have any legal opinion on this particular bill because we felt there was no inappropriation for it was necessary for the legality of it. But one of the things that people must understand, these are donations. These are not an appropriation from the state treasurers. We expect that $1 million will be donated by private donations, that the state match will be $108,000, which we figure that 50% of the state employees, which is 18,000 employees, and the administration cost that the form to take to send around will be only $15,000. So we estimate that this would bring in donations from state employees and private would be $1,123,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. It has been previously stated, and I think correctly, that the representative of the Employees Association said that they had not taken a position on the opting in or opting out at this time. However, the public opinion messages that I have received have been 100% from the employees against the opt-out provision. In other words, the employees that I have heard from say, of course, that they do not like the provisions in the bill itself, and therefore, if they had to have anything, they would like to see it amended so it would be an opt-in. The other great concern that I have also in relation to this bill is that we're going to be appropriating up to $1 million or $2 million, it depends on how you want to interpret it here, to a committee in which the legislature has no control over who sits on it, to a fund in which we don't know the amount of money that's going to be eventually in it, for a purpose that has not yet been clearly defined. I feel, of course, very strongly. I spent and devoted most of my life to athletics. I think the Olympics is just the crowning thorn. It's something that's terrific and that should be supported. But it's the procedure that's called for in this bill that I think is entirely wrong. I think that Olympic Committee could submit, like any other organization or group, a capital request to the legislature, and we could consider it in its proper manner instead of the manner in which it's put before us at this time. So with that, once again, I would urge the members here to support this amendment.
Support. Representative Zemanski.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I thought I understood this fiscal note that I have here in the book, and a little bit concerns me because the fiscal note as it's drafted indicates that at least the drafter of the fiscal note indicated that there was a sense that many employees will not view with favor monies withheld without their prior approval and will exercise their option to withdraw. I can't imagine the bureaucratic nightmare that's going to be created by putting together a whole effort and all the state employees on the books to go ahead and assume they're going to participate And then, as they dribble off, as they become aware of the fact that, you know, as most of them, kind of like a lot of us, we start looking at the deductions on our paycheck, and granted, yeah, there'll be slips of paper and notifications and sent out to them and so forth, but the key notification that's not going to trigger their attention is the fact that they should have a notification sent out to them that says, okay, sign on if you want to contribute, because the rest of it isn't, it's just not going to make much sense. The private donations says brackets, office of the governor, unbrackets, $1 million. Private donations. I'm not too sure if that's private or public. I'm assuming if it comes from the office of the governor, it's public funds. Unless, is that a collecting point maybe for private donations?
Representative Adams.
And if so, I assume then the governor is going to be wanting to run fundraisers or something to put it together, and we're going to applaud his efforts in this area to collect it. That's my assumption. No, Madam Chairman, or I should say, Madam Speaker, I don't support it in its current version. I think this amendment is excellent because it does get us down to a voluntary system, a system which allows the state employees, particularly the ones in my district who have indicated some concern about this, they have unanimously contacted me and indicated that they would rather have a voluntary participation and not a mandatory participation and then voluntarily signing off of it later. So I strongly support the amendment as drafted, and with it would probably feel very much supportive of the entire bill and ultimately encourage its passage. Thank you.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would just like to add to the testimony from the representative from Juneau. We sit on the same committee, and I clearly asked the representative of the Public Employees Union if, in fact, she had contacted her membership, and her answer was no, and if she had contacted her executive committee, and her answer was no. Yet she freely said that, in her judgment, that the employees would have no problem with it.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I speak in favor of this amendment to start out with, and I'd like to explain my reasons why. I kind of agree that it'll make a bad bill better. But all of you, I think, are familiar with another campaign that is waged for fundraising with state employees called the United Way, and the it ties in with the combined federal campaign. It's a fundraiser, voluntary, if you will, where everybody gets together and chooses team leaders and so forth and so on. But it is in no way obligating an employee to make a contribution either by a payroll deduction or by a one-time cash donation from their paycheck. I suspect, Madam Speaker, that if Section 3 stands as it follows to the rest of the bill, that we will find other nonprofit organizations hammering at the door of the legislature, and we will have 10 to 15 to 20 other funds that, by virtue of this unamended version of this bill, will give them legitimate reason to come and demand that there be another fund set aside, because they're equally of importance for everything from suicide prevention to nonprofit health agencies to all the other social programs that now come under the guise of voluntary contribution status. And for that reason, Madam Speaker, I fear that if we do not pass this amendment number 2, that will occur, and we will have no reason to say no, or we cannot, or it's against state statutes or other very valid reasons next year. That is not to say that I speak against the intent of the Olympic support, but I say that no matter what the urgency, no matter what the purpose, no matter how valid and wonderful and humanitarian we give our money to, it still must remain a voluntary effort, not a mandatory effort that you can pull out of and stand the scrutiny of perhaps people who think that you're not supportive. Thank you, Mr.
Representative Gall.
Thank you. I would speak in agreement with the previous speaker and in support of this amendment. I think if it is believed that charity begins at home, certainly that really means it begins with each of us and our own conscience and our own desire to give. If this is, and maybe I should add, too, in regard to the comments just made, that if the state is going to undertake, and maybe this would be more appropriate when we come up for discussion on the bill, but if the state is going to undertake to contribute to charitable enterprises in a regular fashion, certainly we should look at our state responsibilities of public health and public safety and contribute to organizations which serve those goals. Nowhere in the Constitution are we, is it suggested that we should be supporting charitable sports events of this sort. But most important, I believe, is that if a state employee wishes to give money to the Olympic Committee, it certainly is his right. And if the state wishes to make that a little more easy by creating a vehicle, a operational vehicle to collect that money, I suppose that's not improper. But when the state presumes that any employee is going to give the money and then puts the responsibility on the employee to come to the state or to follow some other procedure to indicate that they do not wish to give, but otherwise the money is going to be taken from them, I think we go far, far beyond what is proper as an employer or as a government or as a representative of the people, and certainly as a group that has to take into consideration the rights of the state employees. Even if there are 25 state employees out there who feel that this is an imposition on their rights, I think we should respect that. Certainly we can create a mechanism for them to give, but I don't think it should be their responsibility to indicate they do not wish to give. Rather, it should be their responsibility to indicate that they do. So this amendment seems very supportive of the bill, and I would certainly favor its passage.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, Madam Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment. Madam Speaker, it's been said many times here that this is a bad bill and this amendment can feasibly make it better. I also note, too, that in testimony supplied so far, that not one employee has asked for this particular bill, and it appears that we are trying to make decisions on their behalf. The gentleman from Haynes indicated that charity begins at home, but in my opinion, charity should be a volunteer effort. Madam Speaker, I believe that we should defeat this amendment and should also defeat this bill. It's a bad bill, it's a bad amendment, and the whole thing should be kicked out. I propose to vote against both of them.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I don't know who the chairperson is of the Alaska United States Committee, but whoever it is, they have a heck of a finance committee, because I think they found the neatest way to raise money any organization I've seen so far. Put the bite on a group that sort of exposed out there, and if they complain, they look like they're being uncharitable. I think it was already pointed out by the previous speaker that not one state employee has asked for this bill. In any case, I think the amendment should be adopted, and we can get on to the merits of the bill in third reading, but I agree very much. If we go ahead and pass a bill like this, that the next thing is there'll be other worthy charities coming in to have the same sort of deal, and once you give it to one group, I think you got to extend it, and I think that by doing that, you're putting this whole Olympic effort in jeopardy of a controversy. I'd point out that the different state employees, associations, and groups, most of them have their, you know, their own little charitable efforts, and they can make contributions if they want to do it, and they don't really need us to help them out.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment before us. I think without the amendment, I would be forced to vote against the bill, but if we can adopt the amendment, I believe it makes it a better bill, and I think it allows them, of course, as many of the other speakers have said, to make donations on a voluntary basis. There's no amount that is listed in here also, but I certainly support the Alaska United States Olympic program and the trust fund and where we're going with it, but I think that we should give the liberty of those state employees to make that decision themselves and on the merits of what they would like to do. So I support the amendment, and I support the bill with this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just I want to make it clear that I'm strongly opposed to this amendment. It's not that we are taking money from anybody. We're giving them an opportunity. And certainly, I'm surprised at how many people can't remember when they used to draw wages and look at all the deductions that used to come out of your check. Payroll deductions are something that's not new to Americans and to people who work and draw wages. They're all kinds. Many of them are involuntary, as you will recall, those of you who are drawing your wage paychecks. Very involuntary. The federal government started indoctrinating us with the first mandatory income tax many, many years ago, and they've done a good job in getting people to forget about all the money they take away from them. This is not involuntary, such as those. This is voluntary. We'll do a job that needs to be done. And those of you who are concerned about other people getting on the bandwagon, I, for one, will have no problem determining who should be worthy and who should not. If you don't want to stand up to that challenge, that's your own individual problem. This is something that we ought to do, something that needs to be done, and the state employees, I think, will thank us for it. Somebody tried to say that there would be a nightmare on the computer system. This was a question that was raised. It's a valid question. The people who have to do with this were questioned at length in several committees and said the $15,000 fiscal note was reasonable. It is no problem from an administrative standpoint by the administration. And with that, defeat this amendment and hopefully vote for the bill.
You ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall House...
Madam Chairman, I don't believe this is voluntarily. And I think before we vote, I want to read this once again. I think we're coercing these employees. And it says, to coerce any employee of the state to invest or contribute his earnings in any manner or for any purpose is a prohibited act. And, Madam Chairman, I think by not supporting this amendment, that's exactly what we would be doing.
Ready for the question? Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would agree with the statute, but the term that makes that invalid in this case is coercion. This is not coercion in any way, shape, or form.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 2 to House Committee Substitute Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 350 Finance pass the House? Oh, excuse me. Shall Amendment Number 2 be adopted? You're absolutely right. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
21 yeas, 16 nays.
Amendment number 2 has passed the House. Is there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Representative Abood.
Madam Speaker.
Excuse me, Representative Tischer.
Is he about to make a motion to move it? No.
Yes, Representative Tischer. Representative Abood.
Madam Speaker, I move and yes. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 350 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, the bill is before us in third reading. Representative Tischer.
Is the clerk going to read it again?
Will the clerk please read the bill?
House Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 350 Finance amended by the House by the Finance Committee. An act creating the Alaska United States Olympic Trust Fund and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm sorry that I keep popping up before the procedures are taken care of, but I wanted to share some information with the body. I'm going to speak against the piece of legislation before us, even though I voted for the amendment. And I'd like to share my past experience with a nonprofit health agency involved in trying to persuade the previous administration and the state and changing state law and so forth when it came to soliciting for voluntary contributions through a system that was already in place through state employees. As everyone will agree, the state employees have a large enough number to to where there's a highly competitive field of solicitation from the private sector, from the nonprofit organizations, and so forth. And so they group together, and so that they have more of a voice, I suppose. The nonprofit health agencies, the United Way agencies, the international service organizations, and on and on and on. They group together and they apply some pressure, and they come up to the state and federal governments and they say, these are all very worthy causes, and we think that rather than going on a one-to-one basis, it would be much easier for employees to make a voluntary contribution through payroll deduction. That's a very easy way to raise money for an organization, and I speak from 10 or 15 years of experience in that. And I was part of a group that came before a body of administrators to discuss just that with a campaign called SHARE through state employees. And one of the things that was brought up earlier in debate was the computer issue on setting up a program by which the computer could make the deductions on the payroll show and compute and keep track of and so forth and so on. And at the time that this discussion took place, Madam Speaker, there was a very strong voice that said, we cannot do this because the programming in the computer would cost millions and millions of dollars, and that we just feel as though it'd be too much trouble. And so we went away with our heads hanging. Later on, we were advised that new computer systems were being installed and that perhaps there would be a means by which this could be done. But there was only one category, one something or another within the computer that would allow for this. And so if you're going to do this, they told us, you have to group together, design a program that you can distribute the funds accordingly so that we only deduct one time in one category, and then the monies are distributed according to the plan that you propose. Now, Madam Speaker, I guess the reason I'm saying this is for a particular reason. If there is already in existence a fund for the purpose of giving to a nonprofit organization, no matter what it is, health agencies, service agencies, I don't care what, then it would seem to me, Madam Speaker, that we ought to look to the possibility of including in that organization, in that three or four group organization, this Olympic fund, because that way we will not have two or three or four or five or maybe 10 or 15 new organizations, singly or otherwise, which we were told that will never be able to be done. Not a single organization can come and solicit funds voluntarily or otherwise to state employees. It must be in that one category, in that one big group, and then money's distributed. So I'm going to suggest, Madam Speaker, that by virtue of that past experience, and if I had the time and I could get back into the files of the National Health Agency group and the United Way group, that we would be able to prove that by written order and by written opinion, Attorney General, I believe, was included in that, that there was no way in which one single organization could solicit funds from state employees. And by virtue of that, I think that this bill violates that intent, violates those decisions, those opinions, and we have to go back and maybe reassign, get this organization under the umbrella of that now, which is in place already. And I, again, Madam Speaker, speak against the bill, voluntary or involuntary, it makes no difference. The fact is that there's something already in place, and if they need the money, they want the money, then they ought to go into the same group fund process that all the rest of the organizations have been forced to do. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 350 Finance amended pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
27 yeas, 10 nays.
And so, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 350, Finance Amended, has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar? Representative Abboud.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of House Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 350 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Thank you, Representative Abboud. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Madam Speaker, we have it at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Gnome Belt students by Representative Jack Fuller and Senator Frank Ferguson.
Representative Abboud.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In the absence of a good representative back me, I move the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
At the request of Representative McBride, I'm going to move that we hold over reconsideration of House Bill 680, which relates to the recovery recovering production of gas and oil one legislative day, in other words, till tomorrow.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Larson?
Yes, may we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Okay, I just noticed in Gallery A, a gentleman who I have had the honor to work with over the years, and when we worked, of course, we worked across the court usually. The basketball coach from West Valley now, I believe, for a long time from Eielson, and a very good friend, Ted DeLeon. Ted?
Representative Gall, are you seeking the floor?
Yes, I have been. Am I recognized?
Representative Gall.
Thank you. First of all, since it's getting late, I had given notice of reconsideration on House Bill 225. Could we hold that over until tomorrow's calendar?
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. And, Madam Speaker, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 350.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on Senate Bill 350. Representative Locker.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill number 48, Judiciary.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on Senate Bill number 48. Further unfinished business. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Finance is canceled this afternoon. The corrections and education closeout will be taking place tomorrow. And on Wednesday, we'll take up the closeout on health, education, and social services. Thank you.
Other announcements. Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Health, Education, and Social Services will meet at 2 o'clock today in room 112 of the Capitol Building.
Further announcements? There being none, special orders. Representative Abboud.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, April the 3rd, 1984.
Any objections? There being none, so ordered.